that middle interview.
Greetings from your host, James, from the one and only state of Texas in the United States of America, from the one and only podcast, That Middle Interview Podcast. We welcome you once again. Thank you, guys. And we have a special treat. We have a member of Interloper, or Interloper, as you want to say it, a progressive metal band. You could label it different ways and different subgenres of metal. It's up to you, okay? So this is crazy, crazy metal. Some good stuff, of course. And they have a brand new, Interloper has a brand new album, Nuclear Blast, by the title of Search Party. You guys can stream it, download it. It's available on all digital formats, okay? So it's called Search Party, and the band is called Interloper, and our guest is none other than the vocalist slash guitarist, Andrew Virueta. And he joins us and speaks to us about this new album, Search Party, its makings, and the way they wrote it, and this and that. And they actually just released an EP, their first EP, this year also, 2021, back in January. And then this June 11th, they released this brand new album, Search Party. So for all the fanatics that follow Interloper, let's play some Interloper here. For all the people that are not aware or sure who they are or what they sound like, we're going to play Pathkeeper. This was released at the same time as the album was released by Nuclear Blast Records. And here's Pathkeeper. And we'll be right back with the interview with Andrew. That Metal Interview.
We'll be right back.
great metal for you guys. Great metal. We welcome you, of course, one more time, That Metal Interview Podcast, myself, James, and let's cut it short, man. Here's our interview with Andrew of Interloper. Enjoy. New album, Search Party, coming out June 11th, Nuclear Blast. Talk to us about the making of this album.
What do you want to know, man?
How do you guys go about the writing process, you know, lyric-wise, riff-wise? What's the first step? Is it riff-wise?
I see. Yeah, typically the songs are what are made first. Either I'll write like a good portion of a song and then I'll take it to the guys, or Miles will do the same thing. Sometimes Aaron and Miles will write stuff together. Sometimes Aaron and I will write stuff together. Sometimes Miles and I will like fully collaborate on songs. It just really depends on the time and the circumstance, really. But yeah, with that in mind, once the songs are done, I'll start trying to make weird sounds over the songs until it becomes something a little more cohesive and sounds like a singer, you know? That's usually the way it goes. I like to phonate over the songs, just like vowels and stuff that sound pleasing to me. And then I like write the lyrics based off of those vowel shapes that I really think are pleasing. And then the lyrics come after that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
So you kind of do syllables, kind of syllable noises on top of the riffs?
Yeah, exactly. Just cool. Like that, yeah, exactly. That kind of thing.
Cool. Just
whatever's natural and like whatever my gut wants over the song is what I'll put in there.
Wow, that's cool. I saw the Search Party animated music video. Very cool, man. Who came up with this idea?
I think that Miles was the one that really wanted to have this this video as like a 3D animation thing. I think Aaron and I were more rooting for the 2D thing, like an illustration kind of idea. But uh-huh. Miles really wanted the 3D thing, and I think it was a cool choice. You don't really see that too frequently.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the animator that did it is the same guy who did the animations on our backdrop for the Drift music video. So we went to him just because we really liked what he did. And our friend Paige, she storyboarded the whole Search Party music video. So she planned out and plotted the whole thing and then worked directly with Anthony, the animator.
Very cool. Very cool video. Of course. For people that don't know, take us back in time a little bit. How did the band start, and what year was this that the band formed?
So I wasn't in the band when it formed, but I believe that it formed in like 2014. Miles and Aaron started the band. Miles wrote the first song. It's called A Red Letter Day. It's an instrumental kind of tune. And
cool.
We started that whole thing. And then I come into the picture in maybe 2016, so like 2 years later.
Okay.
I think at that time, we wanted to, and they had kind of all felt this way, that they wanted to kind of stray away from the sound that A Red Letter Day and the other two songs that were released sounded like. It was more of like a technical death metal kind of thing.
Wow.
And I think that they wanted to just chill out a little more with this band. And then I come into the picture, and I don't really write fast music. I write technical music, but not fast music. Like that. So it was right in my wheelhouse, you know?
Yeah.
And so we just started experimenting, writing songs together, seeing what could be. And what ended up being was the EP that we put out, A Revenant Legacy. Those songs are a product of that, and that mentality, and that mindset. So moving along, we have now Search Party, which is just, I feel, an optimization and like a refinement of the sound of what the EP was.
Nice. So that was one of my questions. You guys just released the EP, Revenant Legacy, this past January, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Why release an album so soon? Right?
Yeah, man. Well, the reason is because we didn't even really want to show the EP to the world, man. We just wanted to start off with the full length.
Okay.
But, you know, I guess we kind of all decided against that, changed our minds or whatever. So I think it was important to just have those songs as kind of checkpoints in our musical career, I guess, in our maturation. I think that was an important move to make. Looking back now, I think it was a good move for us.
Nice.
Just because, you know, for me, when an album I make is released, usually all the ideas and thoughts that I have toward each song, it changes like drastically when a song gets released, or when an album gets released for me personally. Like when I listen to a song that I've written and listened to for years and years, and when it finally gets released, I feel like I almost listen to it as a like a jaded listener, and so I judge very harshly the music that I make after it gets released.
Yeah.
So with that, I think it was important to do that and put those Revenant Legacy songs through that treatment in my mind personally. And you know, it's already happening with Search Party. So
right
now, I have a list of things I want to, you know,
add
or subtract, you know,
right.
That's great.
That's cool. That's cool. I guess it's normal, huh? I mean, you want to, after you finish the process, you want to add or subtract things, you know, that's cool. I guess we're human.
That's right, man. You know, I don't know. There's just an idea of having the public listen in to something that is very personal to you. And then when that very personal thing becomes public, you yourself view it differently, you know? And I sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that feels that way, but I think I'm wrong.
So let me get this right. Maybe I didn't see correctly, but I've seen you guys on YouTube and this and that. You guys are a three-piece band with no bass player. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We don't have a bass player with us. But
I thought I was seeing things.
yeah, we have bass tracked on the EP and on the full length as well.
Yeah.
I tracked bass on the EP. And then our good buddy Jacob Umansky, who plays in a band called Intervals, he tracks the bass on Search Party.
Cool. So you guys go live with no bass player, or?
I would really like to have a bass player live with these songs on Search Party. We have toured in the past with just tracked bass. So yeah, just like backtracked or whatever. But I really am not a fan of that. I don't like seeing bands that do that. And I don't want to be a band that does that. So I really, really would like to have a live bass player and eventually a bass player as a permanent member.
I heard your music and Interloper, and I don't think you guys need a bass player, but I mean, I see where you might. I get it. You know, that's cool. It sounds cool like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's bass in all the songs still, but I think the important thing is that, you know, having somebody who spent the years that I have on guitar, on a bass, their approach to that same section that I would have is very different. And it's a very valuable opinion to have in a band. Bassists phrase things differently.
Yeah.
It's just like the way that it is. And I think that it's important to have that, kind of more watchful, not watchful ear, but like that more apt ear.
Yeah, cool. I understand. I play some guitar myself in the local bands, you know. I understand. I get it. Yeah. So my question is, what's behind the name Interloper, and who came up with that name, and why that name?
Miles came up with that name, and the name is based off of a video game that he really loves called Half-Life.
Okay.
Yeah, so the word interloper is, I think, one of the chapters in Half-Life 2. And so that's what he used. And I think Miles' original intention with this band was to have it a Half-Life-themed band. And so we have the first three singles that we put out in like, or that he put out in like 2014 or 15,
yeah,
which were A Red Letter Day, Absolution, and then The Conjuration. And those are all three tips of the hat to Half-Life in some way.
Cool. Cool name. I like it. So are you guys already booking shows? You know, I'm in Texas, and a lot of bars and clubs seem to be opening up. So are you guys booking things already? Or,
dude, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of bands booking things, but we are not currently, at least not for this year.
Okay.
Just because, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you never yet.
I just don't know if it's the move yet, man. And,
right.
I think we're kind of just going to – we're going to follow – bigger bands' leads that can afford to drop tours, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's an expensive loss.
Right.
So, and I don't think that we can afford to do that currently.
So talk to us about your equipment, studio and touring equipment. What do you use for to play?
I use an Axe FX in the studio when I'm tracking stuff. But lately I've been really, really into these plugins.
Uh-huh.
The Neural DSP plugins and the Archetype plugins and all that fun stuff. So that's been really cool to experiment with. I don't know if I'm going to be using any of these on any records, but I might. Who knows? But yeah, most of the time I'm using an Axe FX, and live I'm using an Axe FX as well. Miles and I both are using an Axe FX. Axe FX 2 live, and we plug that into straight into the to the PA or to the mixer, and then out to the PAs.
Nice. Yeah. Who are your influences? Who are your heroes?
My influences and heroes. I would say James Hetfield. I would say
awesome.
Chuck Schuldiner. I would say wow. Dave Mustaine.
Yeah.
And probably like Mike Patton too. Those are the guys. Mike Patton, not so much at a young age. That was kind of like later in my life. I found like Faith No More and Mr. Bungle and stuff. But when I was a kid, those three were like the heroes of mine that made me want to do what I do now.
Yeah.
Also, Matt Heafy from Trivium. That's another one that I don't want to forget.
Nice.
Yeah, that guy is awesome. Super young. Started so young. It really, that dude, like, for how young he started, you know, touring and putting out albums and stuff, that really gave me hope in myself.
Give us your best gig and your worst gig.
I can't really think of a worst gig, man. I can't think of it right now. there definitely is one. Oh yeah, there was one. It was, both of these are with the Faceless, but one of the worst ones was, we were playing in Mexico. We were in Aguascalientes.
Okay.
And the owners were like notorious for like shutting power off,
oh, wow,
or whatever, or something like that. And we were headlining, and I think like they shut our power off on us.
Wow.
Because they just wanted to go home or something. I don't know. I don't think we were even playing like extraordinarily late. What? I think it was like maybe 11:30 or midnight, which is typical in Mexico.
That's crazy.
Things run a little later typically down there.
So
that was pretty fucked.
Wow.
Also, my in-ears and our mixer died at that show as well. Like they just broke and didn't work. So we ran that whole show without ears.
Oh, wow.
It was a doozy.
Wow, what a horrible experience.
Yeah, but one of my favorite shows that I've played was in either Texas or Chile, man.
Okay.
Gas Monkey Live was a really, really fun show. And then Santiago, Chile.
Yeah.
Was, dude, the venue was basically like falling apart. It was like the venue looked like an old movie theater that had been converted into a venue. Like it was a movie theater from like the 1900s or something.
Really?
It was this old fucking place, dude. And, I remember at the time, the country, they were all in like protests in the streets and stuff. There was something going on with their government. And so I remember from our hotel room, we'd hear like rubber bullets hitting the ground and
wow,
people screaming and stuff like all day. Yeah, it was crazy. And so in my opinion, that insanity and like, you know, the unrest in the general like population of people there. One of the promoter of the show didn't have money for our booking agency to pay them or whatever. Yep. Uh-huh. And they were really strict about like, you need to pay or else like our band isn't going to play for you kind of thing. And so like they were just arguing about that and just going crazy. And the guy was like, he didn't have the money, and they were saying, yeah, we're like, Faceless isn't playing then if you don't have our money, this and that. And the dude comes back like sobbing and he says, if you guys don't play, the fans are going to burn the venue to the ground. They said they're going to burn the venue to the ground. Please let Faceless play.
Wow. It's crazy.
It was just like fucking crazy, dude. They ended up, actually, dude, I don't even think that the touring agency even ended up getting like the money like in full, but we ended up playing and it was just fucking awesome, dude. Those people were nuts. It was such a blast. And I don't know, man, like our set was mixed so fucking loud, man. I just felt really like, I just felt really powerful up there, man. And it was a really memorable show for me.
Wow. What a cool story right there.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
So what's next for yourself, for Andrew and the band? What can fans expect next from you guys?
I mean, they can expect more music and hopefully next year a tour or multiple tours. Our goal is to just be on the road as much as possible supporting this album. In an ideal world, of course. Uh-huh. We've already been writing a lot of music for the second album. We're about 6 or 7 songs deep. And just keeping our noses to the grindstone and working hard.
Cool. There you go. For the fans asking, would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast?
Thanks for taking the time to listen to my crazy thoughts and my ramblings. I hope that you guys all love the record, and we hope to see you on the road in the future.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for spending some time to talk to us, to our podcast. We appreciate it, and hope to see you on the road soon, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Keep rocking, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
Much obliged, and thank you, Andrew, for talking to us and spending some time chatting with our podcast, That Metal Interview. And for all the fanatics of Interloper, there you go. Some badass music. Don't forget, you can stream their new album, Search Party. You can download it. And they have an EP, which was released this year earlier, about January 2021, by the name of A Revenant Legacy. Interloper. Check it out, guys. A California band. Very, very great, great metal. Melodic, progressive, I would say. But it's up to you how you want to label the subgenre of this metal band. So anyways, thank you guys. Don't forget to subscribe. It is my job to say that because we live off of subscriptions and subscribers and hits and views and all that stuff. You guys know what's up. So thank you guys. If you like what you hear, we appreciate it. We truly appreciate it. So thank you guys one more time. Interloper, and be on the lookout for some more interviews. We have AJ from KK Priest. He's going to be one of our guests very, very soon. And we have Sasha of Helloween also as one of our guests in the up-and-coming episodes, of course. And AK of Flotsam and Jetsam. So, yes, sir, we got some special guests coming up, amongst others, of course. I'm not going to reveal all of them. So here it goes. Don't forget to keep it metal.